Hey everybody, hi, how are you? It's me, it's Vince, it's time for Atomic Radio Hour episode 314. How are you doing? You look fantastic as usual. I hope you guys are doing well. You look great. I have a lot of things to talk about in today's episode. First off, I just want to say start by saying it's very hot on this planet for some reason. I mean, I think we all know the reason, but still. Monday the 22nd was the hottest day of the planet's history. I've got my air on, and I shut the door where the air is coming from, and it like instantly turns to 4,000 degrees in my room, and I got this light in front of me. It's a whole thing. We have some very important things to talk about that I'd like to kick the show off with. Thank you for being here. I would like to thank Marcus, who is in tonight's live chat. If you like the show, check out the Patreon link in the description below. Make sure to subscribe, make sure to follow, make sure to like, do all that fun stuff. Share this with a friend. Really close to hitting 900 subs on YouTube. I would love to hit 1,000 before the year's over. So, you know, share me on Reddit, whatever. The video game industry is unionizing, and it's a great time to be playing games. Just genuinely a good time to be playing games if this is the trend that is going to continue. As I finished this episode, like I sat down to go play videos, James on my couch, and Kyle, I believe, had sent me a message saying that Bethesda has unionized. Let me get the note exactly. This comes from Steven Totillo on Twitter, at Steven Totillo. Breaking: Bethesda Games studio workers have unionized, not the same as the QA union. This time it's wall to wall. That means everybody. 241 developers, including artists, engineers, programmers, and designers, per the CWA and they say Microsoft has recognized the union. Right? Isn't that fantastic? I've been saying for a long time, I'm very much in favor of a union. I think unions are good for everybody involved. It costs the company almost nothing, and they're making billions of dollars. They can afford to pay it. They might as well pay it. And now Bethesda is a union job. That means quality of life increases. That means productivity will increase. That means overtimes will be doled out appropriately. This is a massive, massive thing. The games may be less broken. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, it's guaranteed that the next Fallout or the next Elder Scrolls or the next Starfield or even Indiana Jones is going to be a less broken game. I'm not. The games might take a little longer to make, sure, but people are going to be paid for the work that they are doing appropriately. Bethesda always had the, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, geez, what's the word? Reputation for being a studio that people stayed at. And now if Bethesda is a union job, more people are going to stay at Bethesda for longer. If I am guaranteed a raise every year, if I am guaranteed the best medical, if I am guaranteed the best times off, if I am guaranteed X amount of vacation days, people are going to be more happy to go to work. Especially if this union does weekly pay, if this union does 4-day weeks with no change in your pay, because people would be willing to still come in on that Friday if overtime is an option. If a crunch period has to happen, it won't at this point. The game will just take longer to come out. And if you at home are going, but that means I get my game later, you're part of the problem. Like, I'm just going to say it right now. It's consumerism at its peak. Something, even Marcus just says, quality should take time. Yes. Why do you pay more money for a good bottle of wine? Because it's aged properly. It has done everything it needs to do to make sure it is of a beautiful taste because it aged properly. Miyamoto from, I believe it's Miyamoto, the guy from Nintendo, said, "A broken game is broken forever, but a game that takes a little more time can come out more polished." I know I'm butchering the line, but this means the next Fallout game, if you don't have to worry about money, if you don't have to worry about how are my kids going to eat, how am I going to afford this, how am I going to afford that, and don't sit there and be like, oh, well, you know, they're video game designers. They do all these other things. They make a tremendous amount of money. Absolutely. I agree with you with that, but also at the same time, how much are eggs where you live? If I don't know if this is worldwide, but how much does everything cost? When I first moved to Colorado, I can get 6 eggs for like 70 something cents. Now it's damn near $2. So here's me, a fella with a basic ass job that I go to so I can pay my rent and make dinner and maybe go out on a couple dates every now and again, right? Not really anything. Here's these people that with like money, like with real money, and they are like, hey man, I don't know if I can have a kid. I don't know if I can afford a new car right now. Not even a new car, but a new used car or just a used car in general. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing that. Also, depending on where you live, I've been to DC. I love DC. DC is one of my favorite American cities. And, you know, it's expensive as hell to live there. So there's people that are graduating from college, getting jobs, and still having to live with 4 roommates because owning a home is damn near impossible unless you want to live in the middle of nowhere. Bethesda has unionized. I don't think everybody understands how important, how impressive this is because they're owned by Microsoft. Like Microsoft, if I remember when I looked up when Kyle sent me this originally, they are like the 3rd largest company in the world. Not in America, not in the Northern Hemisphere, the only thing that has ever made more money than Microsoft is like Nvidia, and I want to say it's either Apple or Google is ahead of them, and then Monza Musa. Like that's it. And it's maybe Amazon is up there too. It's like the top 5 is pretty much what I've said. I know Nvidia got up pretty close. I also, fun fact, Samsung is 25% of South Korea's GDP. I thought that was interesting. This is monstrous. If people are going to be treated well, if people are going to be treated better, great. And before I hear anybody say, but that means more microtransactions, you don't have to buy microtransactions. Like I get the upsetness that people have, the frustration people have with microtransactions. You don't have to buy them. Don't. You don't want to buy them. Don't buy them. Don't buy Adams. Don't buy the horse armor. It got to the point where Bethesda made jokes about the horse armor for the Creation Club. Don't buy it. Don't buy the microtransactions. Don't. Put your money where your mouth is. Don't buy the microtransactions. We all said we weren't going to play Borderlands 3. Remember this? Remember? Anybody? You in the back? Fellow with the funny mustache? You remember? No? Okay, because I do. We all said we weren't going to play Borderlands 3, and then we played Borderlands 3, and it's the best Borderlands since the first one. I don't like the second Borderlands. But what I'm getting at is you said you weren't going to play it. We wound up playing it. Put your money where your mouth is. Stop buying microtransactions. It sucks that a game comes out and I got to spend another $80 once I bought it. Sure, I don't have to buy those things. Or wait a year. Wait a year for the Game of the Year edition. If it's a AAA title, wait a year. That's what I did with Arkham City. It's one of my favorite games ever. I waited a year to buy the Game of the Year edition because I didn't want to have to buy all the microtransactions. I didn't want to have to use the day one code. I didn't want to have to use the day one code so I could play all the Catwoman missions. No, I'll just wait a year. So either wait a year or pay it and then don't complain when it comes back around. But in even better news, to hit you with the double whammy, Kyle sends me this today, like as of mere hours ago, Papa sends me this. He sends me, this is from game developer at gamedeveloper.com on Twitter. World of Warcraft developers form a wall-to-wall union at Blizzard Entertainment. The new unit comprises of over 500 developers representing the entire World of Warcraft development team. The game with an economy that rivals some modern nations now is regulated. We are finally getting to a point. If this could happen, that means it's going to happen to Activision because these companies, these people, hey, my buddy at Bethesda unionized. They did it. We can do it. My buddy at Blizzard unionized. They did it. We can do it. Now it's going to go to Activision. Then it's going to go to King. And once we hit the big ones, now it's trickle down. Now, it's the only time trickle-down will ever work in any sort of money situation. Now, okay, let's see who else is out there. Now we have Embracer. Great. We have everybody at Sony. We have people at Sucker Punch. We have all these big names that are slowly, I'm telling you, by the 30s, by 32, I'm going to be generous and say by 32, you're going to see some of the major studios all be unionized. And it's a monster. It's a monster achievement. Your games are going to be better. Your games are going to be better. You're going to be able to consume your games in a more ethical way. It's veganism, but for video games, in the sense that, okay, we're not which also, I want to point out quickly, veganism isn't completely ethical, because you're not killing cows and chickens and goats and pigs and whatever, but you're killing moles and shrews and rats and mice and insects. So, you know, you're just getting rid of the things that aren't cute anymore. But you'll be able to play these games knowing that the people who worked on them weren't just, I didn't even make that point. They can't just be fired. They can't just go, oh, we're laying all these people off. That's probably the biggest reason, because Microsoft, because Blizzard just laid off all these people. All these big companies have just been laying people off left and right. Now they can't. It has to be just cause, because the union could come in and go, why are you firing these people? You can't fire these people. You need just cause to fire these people. Why? Why are you going to fire these people? And if a business goes under because of it, then the business shouldn't have been existing in the first place, or they should have reworked their business model. A business should stay in business to sell a product, but also to keep their people employed. Because what is going to keep the economy moving? People that are employed. If I'm unemployed, I can't buy frivolous shit. I can't have a Netflix subscription. I can't have Amazon Prime and get packages delivered to my house next day. I need a job. So you want to act like you're selfless? Give these people what they deserve. Treat them like genuine human beings. Like, I wonder how many people outside of America that are in other first world nations are treated with respect at their jobs. The French are given 6 weeks of vacation every year. One thing changes in France and they start burning shit. I fucking love the French. This is such an exciting time because it just, like, it proves that it works. Like it just works. It means that we are going to get better products. If they take longer, they take longer. Who cares? Dude, video games are in such a sad state right now. There's nothing on PS5. Like, there's some things on PS5, but there's no reason for me to have one. Personally, I see nothing on there that I need. Horizons, cool. Great. Spider-Man 2, it's a fun game. I don't see reason to play it more than the one time I played it. What else? The Dark Souls remake? Ooh, I think that was technically on Series X, but mind you, I have a Series X. The only thing I'm playing on Series X is Halo. Currently, I'm only playing Halo on it. Like, just Master Chief Collection. There's nothing to be played, in my opinion, right now. GTA 6 is supposed to come out next year. Probably won't come out till 26, but still. Maybe 27, but still. I see no reason for me to have a PS5. There's no exclusives that are drawing me in. Even the new stuff, the stuff that got announced this year, which I don't think was much, there's nothing that's drawn me in. This could be the first step in the right direction to make sure that your games are more ethically made, to make sure that the people who made the games... Have you ever done something? I'm very passionate about this, obviously. Have you ever done something and you not cared about it and you just did it to finish it? Right? Now, imagine you get really into making games when you're in high school and you and your buddies go on like RPG Designer and you start making stuff and you do this other stuff. And, you know, maybe it's you and four other friends and maybe one other guy is passionate about it like you are, but you get older and people fall away. And even during that project, one guy will just say, you know, this is for you guys. I put a little work in, but now it's yours. You know, now it's four guys. And eventually it's just you and that one other guy who's really passionate. And one other guy, who knows, maybe he goes to a different college than you, or maybe he gets a girl pregnant right out of high school. And then it's just kind of over for him. And you stick around and you have this immense joy for creating these worlds that people live in and they love. And then you're told, hey, we're going to move you from this thing that you're really passionate about to essentially just making more Call of Duty maps. That's it. Maybe a gun skin every now and again, but that's pretty much your job now. And now I'm doing something that I just don't care about. The money doesn't matter. The people I work with don't matter. I'm doing something because I'm doing something. And the job market is awful. But here comes unionization. Everything has to go through a third party. And before you say, I shouldn't have to deal with a third party that I work with, guess what? If anything changes at your job, most likely a third party came in and told them how to do things to make them more efficient to serve the company's needs, not the people. Real shit? You want to hear real shit? At my job today, a woman passed out. She had a seizure. Fell right on the floor. I missed it by a minute. I walked away for a second to get a drink and came back. Woman's on the floor, right? An older than me. She has, I think, 4 or 5 children. So she's older than me. She's put some time in. She could be 30, you know, I just had a kid every year, but still, she's older than I am. She laid on the floor and 4 people ran over to her and everyone continued to work. They were told, continue to work, pay us no mind. That is a woman who I know by name. I've seen her children. She's talked to me about the plights of her life. She's talked about the hardships of getting older. She's told me all of these things. And we were told, continue to work because you're feeding the machine. That's it. That's all they see you as. So why not? Why not get respect even if you have to pay for it? Even if you have to pay a weekly due, a monthly due, you pay a yearly thing, who cares? Because the way the world should work is that woman went down and we all stopped. People were moving large, heavy things past her, mere feet from her head. And we had to act like that was normal. This is one of the most, this is the best thing that I've seen for video games in a long time. For the past, I want to say 10 years, I thought what had happened in 1982, 1983, I always forget the exact year, what happened when the video game market crashed, I thought was coming. Like since 2011, 2012, 2013, I've been saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And this might be the thing that pulls us out of it. Yes, Marcus and Chad asked if she's okay. When the paramedics came and took her away on the stretcher, she was actually making jokes. She was up. She was active. She was available. She was mentally there. She had fortitude within her. It's just sick that I had to watch that and be a part of it. And you know, maybe this isn't to come off as misogynistic. It's just the way I was raised. I saw four women around this other woman and. This other woman, and my first thought is, I as a man should be helping them. How can I help them? Not because women are weaker, but because I'm physically stronger, because I work out, and these women do not have the physiques of people who work out. And I thought, how can I do something physically to help? And I said to one of the women that were there, do you need me to pick her up? Do you need me to do something? How can I help? And sometimes helping is just staying out of the way. All this to be said. The video game industry is unionizing, and my God, is it a good time to be alive. Oh, I'm so excited for what this is going to bring. I've said it before, very pro-union, incredibly pro-union. I think union should be the way it is. Most of the rights you have as workers is because of union effort. And they said, why don't we just give this to everybody because unions fought for it. In America, there's a new, I always forget the acronym for it. It's like FMLA, but it's like F-A-M-I-L-A or something, where if a family member of mine gets sick, I can apply for this. The state pays it. And then I get three to six months of paid leave from my job. And when I come back, my job is still there for me and I can go take care of a family member if need be. And that is because of unions in America. Weekends, overtime, child labor laws are all because of unions. Jobs used to blow the whistle, like in the cartoons, you'd get inside, and by the time the whistle was done blowing, if you weren't inside, you didn't go to work that day, and they chained the doors. And the reason why that changed is because a building burned down and everybody inside died. Who helped fix that? Unions. Let's get to this Patreon and lore. So I'd love to talk about this week's lore. This is predominantly a Fallout show. Sorry if it took me a second to get to this, but welcome to the program. This is predominantly, like I said, a Fallout show, but there's some people I have to thank before I can get to this week's lore because of these fine, fine, well-endowed, I don't know, folks. I can continue to make the show. My computer is still going through a bunch of updates and stuff. I haven't really had a chance to sit down with it. I had a very busy weekend. I tried to do it the other day, went through all the steps that my friend told me how to do, and then I needed some code, and I was so exhausted that I just went, this is tomorrow's problem, and I got off. So these people I have to thank, they helped out a lot during my short hiatus of a few weeks. Because of these people, the show continues to grow and get better, and if you like the show, there's a bunch of tiers in the Patreon, in the link in the description below. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure to subscribe. If you like the show, you could be here just like Marcus is and watch it live, but I have to start thanking some folks. So starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you to Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Like I said, these fine folks continue to help the show progress and get bigger and better every single week.
Thank you for being here. I love you very much.
So this week's lore is a little different from the way I wanted to do it. I actually kind of messed up. I'll be completely honest. I did a whoopsie daisy. I did a wucky, if you will. I already did one of the lore options in the past quite a bit ago and didn't realize that I had done it. My bad. I apologize. So I asked if you guys wanted to hear about the Atomic Wrangler or the Silver Rush. And then I went on the channel and I Googled all my lore videos, and turns out I did the Atomic Wrangler a while ago, and I noticed it when I sat down to do it. I was like, wait, I feel like I've read this already. So we're going to do not the Atomic Wrangler. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, check out the Patreon. There's a bunch of tiers at the Patreon. The $10 tier, Film Live 4 studio audience down there, I think is the best one, best bang for your buck, because you get to join the Discord and watch these episodes live, just like Marcus is here tonight. So without any further ado, this week's lore comes to us by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, kind of, a little bit of my intervention, on the Silver Rush from Fallout New Vegas. You guys like to travel? You guys like to look around and see new stuff? You guys ever go somewhere because it's in a video game that you like? I kind of did that with DC once. Fallout 3 is my favorite game ever, but you can actually check out where the Silver Rush is. It's about where the Gold Nugget Casino is on Fremont Street in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was originally, like I said, on Fremont Street and started in 2071 and quickly became the Atomic Wrangler's number one competition. There was a friendly little competition between the Silver Rush and the Atomic Wrangler, which is right there. They're right across the street from one another. In 2270, the Great War happens. So after 6 years of being in operation, the Silver Rush is no longer the Silver Rush. It's a building. It's a monument to the old world. The Van Graffs get to Freeside in 2276 and establish a base at the Silver Rush Casino with their siblings, that being Frida Van Graff, Gloria Van Graff, and Jean-Baptiste Cutting, who we'll talk a little bit about Jean-Baptiste a little bit later. During the time of the setup of their base of the Silver Rush, before the Van Graffs got there, it was a functional casino. They started running again, and there was a bit of friendly competition, or just competition, with the Atomic Wrangler across the street. Much like the days of yore, it was starting to come back in a big bad way. It was starting to become a number one player in Freeside for casinos. But during that time, but like I said, sometime during 2276, the Van Graffs came and got rid of the owner of the Silver Rush and took the building and threw away any of the casino's machines and got rid of most of their stuff. And the Kings heard word of this and didn't like that. Now the Kings, as you probably know, are somewhat of Freeside's police force. And they talk about I'm not going to talk too much about the Kings, but they talk about the Kings in the game and how, you know, power will corrupt, and how the King is a benevolent leader and believes that everybody should be able to do their own business as long as they have the muscle to back it up. If you can talk the shit, you can walk the walk. You know, that's the way it is. And the Van Graffs are taking over the Silver Rush, and the Kings hear about this and show up. So what do the Van Graffs do? They turn many of the Kings that try to stop them into sopping piles of goop. And the Kings really can't do much about it because the energy weapons are incredibly rare. So rare that I'll talk about a little bit later, the Brotherhood of Steel doesn't quite enjoy the Van Graffs being where they are. Now, I get all my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will, and this is a quote from Gloria Van Graff, directly from the Nukapedia. The courier can ask, "Tell me about the Kings," and Gloria will say, "Ah, the rulers of Freeside. The Kings are a bunch of boys who refuse to grow up, and this is their playground. Their leader seems different, though. The few times I've dealt with him, I've been impressed despite myself. Unfortunately, he rarely acts. The King believes that everyone in Freeside can do whatever they want, provided they can back it up with force. Which suits me just fine. When we first arrived in Freeside, the Kings protested when we kicked out the original occupants of this establishment. When we reduced several of their members to glowing puddles of goo, their objections vanished. Since then, we've left each other alone.
I love a woman who knows what she wants. I love it. I love a powerful woman. I love a woman who's not afraid of men. I love a woman who acts like a man. Like in fiction, I love a woman who acts like a fella. I love it. Because it makes men scared. It's like Alien. It makes men scared. Once they had control of the casino, they didn't try to partake in a friendly rivalry or any sort of camaraderie, really, with the Atomic Wrangler. What they did is they just directly marketed to the Wrangler's goers. So if you went to the Atomic Wrangler, hey, you won a few extra thousand caps, come over. Come over to the Silver Rush, you know. You want energy weapons. You want this. It's one of the most powerful weapons that you can get. Imagine getting yourself even a beat-up laser rifle. A beat-up laser rifle is going to cause fear into most people. People are going to be terrified by the mere idea. It's going to put a target on your head. I'm not going to sit there and lie to you, but people, if you brandish the 9, people are going to be afraid of you because of it being a laser rifle. Because the Van Graaff sell such high quality goods, it doesn't matter they're in Freeside. Even though Freeside can be somewhat of a dangerous location, people will travel near and far to get the best quality. And because they're just outfitted to the nines, to the gills, to the teeth, with the best of the best weaponry in the Mojave, if not most of the most of the West Coast, who has better weaponry? Maybe the She. Well, definitely the She. Maybe if there's a surviving sector of the Brotherhood, maybe. Maybe parts of the NCR that isn't in the middle of Kimball's campaign. Shady Sands, at this point in time, Shady Sands' army that's directly in Shady is probably well outfitted. And the Van Graaffs is a couple of people, and they cannot be touched. Some of the weapons that you could buy that are unique weapons from Gloria Van Graaff are Cleansing Fire, a flamethrower. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. S-P-R-T-E-L, Spartel, Spartelwood, 9,700 is a Gatling laser, and the Smithy Special, which is a plasma caster. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about the Van Graaffs, but I do want to touch on them briefly, just because they are the people who run it, and there's a very interesting character who shows up, who's a part of Van Graaffs, who actually doesn't show up in-game, and is from Van Buren, the canceled Fallout 3, when it was still being done with Black Isle. So Frida Van Graaff, like I said, cut content. It says in the cut content that she's originally from Hoover Dam. Now, that obviously didn't happen. It's sometime in the 2050s, I believe, where she's first talked about, like, in her own timeline. But it also says she's from Redding, California. So it's a kind of discrepancy between the two. And she leaves her siblings, both Gloria Van Graaff and Jean-Baptiste Cutting, to go pursue the opportunity of a lifetime. Gloria Van Graaff, like I said earlier, I love a female protagonist. And the courier might be the protagonist, but she's the protagonist in her own right, because she knows exactly what she's doing and she's smart about it. And she's not afraid. She's not afraid of anything. A shrewd and aggressive businesswoman, her selling energy weapons has even caught her the ire of the Brotherhood of Steel. One of the only reasons why the Brotherhood of Steel doesn't go after Gloria Van Graaff or the rest of the Van Graaffs at the Silver Rush is because Father Elijah was tied up with Helios One. If it wasn't for what was going on with Helios One, he would have had some shit to say to her face, about her selling energy weapons. Because mind you, the Brotherhood having energy weapons and suits of power armor, like, totally nullifies everybody else. Like, it's like, okay, well, here's the big metallic monks, and they can shoot, like, green fire, more or less, and, like, red beams of pure concentrated energy into my eyeballs and kill me. I'm not gonna go near those guys. But if you can get it at a commercial grade, if you can get it at a consumer grade, different story. She's constantly undercutting other businesses out in the Mojave, like the Gunrunners. She will sell things at a lower price just so people go to her and not the Gunrunners. Also, she will attack Crimson Caravan runs and then make them look like the Brotherhood of Steel attacked them just to hinder Crimson Caravan business. Sure, absolutely. You can get a gun shipped to you, you're going to pay all these fees, or you could come to the Silver Rush and buy it directly from the source. And in one of my favorite things about her, she's like a triple double crosser. She sets up a deal with the Legion to sell them weapons, which is a setup by the Van Graaffs and the NCR to ambush the Legion, and then the NCR in the contract would buy weapons from the Van Graaffs. And you can ask her about this deal, and Gloria Van Graaff will say, "The deal I brokered with the NCR netted me 5 times what Caesar paid. Keeping Caesar's money was just a bonus." To the casket drops. Is this woman just a G? She's such a G, she's almost an H. And now for Jean-Baptiste Cutting, the enforcer and right-hand man to the Silver Rush and Gloria, and his half-sister. His last name is Cutting and not Van Graaff because his mother liked his father so much, she wanted him to keep his last name and not hers. It's Frida and Gloria Van Graaff. It's implied that all of them are half-siblings. His father, Cutting, passed away before he was born, and if you talk to him, he says that he never got to meet his dad. The Silver Rush is not just a casino, it's not just an institution, it's an experience. The quest that you do where you get to stand guard is it's a quest that I really, really appreciate because it takes the limitations that the engine has, especially when it was being made for the PS3 and the Xbox, right? It takes these limitations that were there and says, what can we do that's interesting and unique for this series? Where you stand outside of a business and tell people, get lost or come in and buy stuff. You can destroy the Van Graaffs in one quick go. You can just be in and then be out and get rid of them completely if you let the wrong guy in and he blows the place up. Or you can go in there, broker deals. They become part of Cass's storyline, her quests. I really like the Silver Rush. And I hope you guys like this because that has been this week's lore. What up, gang? What up, slimes? What are you doing? What's going on? How's everybody's summer been? We're kind of like in the middle of summer. It feels like the middle of summer. How's the weather treating you? Make sure you're drinking tons of water. You know, coffee is nice. Don't get me wrong. I have a little bit of coffee every now and again. But you need to really drink water because it is hotter than hell. I saw something recently that was like, you know, in America, we use freedom units and not what the rest of the world uses, which is Celsius. And it was like, I don't understand how the English can hear 25C and think that's hot when it's like 80 degrees. And it was, you know, most of the houses in London are not, or in Europe are not, are 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 years old and are not built for air conditioning. They're made out of like thatch roofs and what have you. And one time I heard a story, I know I talked about this with Lamp a long time ago. There was like a pub that wanted to modernize and didn't get the proper permit and like destroyed the roof. And then they had to pay like quadruple the amount to fix the roof in the original style because it was like a 400-year-old building. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself this summer. You know, if you work outside, shade is available. Even if your higher ups are going to get upset, fuck them. You need to be alive. Doesn't matter if the company makes a dollar, you need to be alive. Make sure you're drinking water and fruit too. Like fruit's got that good, I've been on a real fruit kick lately. I've been eating a lot of pineapple and watermelon and grapes. Fruit has that good sugar, like that real sugar, like not that fake sugar that's just in like a tasty cake or like a, you know, like a small Deborah. But you get that good sugar, you get the water from it. People who don't like drinking water, I don't understand you. I'm not saying anything about you is negative. I'm just saying I don't get it. God bless. Godspeed. Don't understand. But you could have fruit. No. I actually heard blending fruit is better for you than they once thought it was. I was always told that if you blend fruit, it hits your tongue differently because of the way your tongue breaks down sugars. It's processed sugar. Turns out that's like not really true and is actually really good for people that have stomach issues. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I was told recently. So here we are. What do you mean they don't know what tasty cake is? Hold on. Marcus and Chad are saying they don't know what tasty cake is. I want to know what this is about. Because this is what I think it's about. Are you sure it's a... Is it not... Wait, hold on. Is it East Coast or just one state? Because I think they have tasty cake out here. I think they have tasty cake in Colorado. You don't think people can put together with context clues what tasty cake is just by saying it? I thought Small Deborah was going to be like a super stretch for, say, like a Little Debbie cake. I'm very curious about this. You know, like a pastry, but like a processed one that you get in like a box and you get 12 of them for like $4 and you eat them and you're just like, this is giving me cancer and diabetes together. Why doesn't my mic stand ever want to work properly? Get the fuck out of here. So apparently it was an East Coast thing because they wouldn't ship further than the truck could drive in a day. So we made a detour into chocolate and cream, and I didn't mean for this to happen. If that's true, that's wild. Because I knew that it was like at least northeast of America had them. Because I have a friend who lives in Colorado, not far from me. Well, fucking 5 hours here is not far according to Coloradans. But like, he's like a few hours away from me. I've seen him a couple times. And he told me that they have Tasty Cake out here now for him. So I don't know. I started seeing chips that were only in PA recently. I started seeing Hers chips out here, which is bonkers if they're out here. But they weren't the chips. They were like the popcorn and like the other stuff. So I don't know. I see. Marcus in chat saying that he used to get Tasty Cake shipped to him when he lived outside of the East Coast. I don't know. Now we're here. What's your favorite regional food? what is your favorite? They don't have Wawa out here. And I reference Wawa all the time. I actually met a guy in my gym who's from Pennsylvania. And I was like, dude, what part of PA are you from? He's like, Central PA. I was like, get the hell out of here. And we were talking about it. And I was like, what's your Wawa order? And this dude looks at me with a straight face and goes, bro, I hate Wawa. And I was like, you shut your mouth. Wawa is a delicacy. It's a delicacy. I was like, what are you, a Sheetz guy? He's like, yeah, dude, absolutely. I'm like, Sheetz sucks. He was a nice guy, though. It was nice to talk to somebody who's like from my neck of the burg. Yeah. He was a guy who was like 6'4". And he was very, very buff. And I could tell that it was the only two things that he like understood was how to work out, because he told me he didn't know how to say hello in Spanish. Because he moved here where there's a huge Spanish speaking population. And I feel like my Spanish has only gotten better since I moved here. Not tremendously, but it's gotten better. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah. He was like, what, see, hello. I think he said hola. Like, he said it with the H. It was wild, like when he finally figured it out. Thank you for being here for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed this menagerie of whatever it's been. Unionization is a good thing. I'm so happy that my favorite game company did it. I love it. It's fantastic. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Dust, and you can get all of his free sounds at silvermansounds.com/free music. My name has been Vince. There's a link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter in the link below. There is also a link to the Patreon. Thank you to the Patreon, especially to Marcus, who is here tonight for the live viewing. I also would like to direct you towards the Redbubble, where you can buy a design that is reminiscent of the show, and it helps the show get a little bit bigger, a little bit better, faster, harder, and stronger. I hope you guys are having a good week. You should consider unionizing. All you need is 30% of your workforce. That's all I'm saying. If it's 10 people, you only need 3. You should really aim for 8, but whatever. I love you. I'll be seeing you next week. I'll see you real soon, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.